We're continuing the shir in Likutei Halachos, Evan Hoezer, Hilchos Gittin, Halacha Dalet. We're up to paragraph Yud Beis. Rav Nosson Zal was speaking about the topic of Chalitza. We entered into the topic of Yibum and Chalitza, and we started discussing Chalitza, of which one of the steps in the procedure is that she removes the widow of the brother who passed away, removes the shoe of the brother that's living that refuses to go through with Yibum. So Rav Nosson Zal spoke about shoes, the topic of shoes, at length. And now he continues, V'zeh ma'ashom Rabbi Yisrael Zal, shechanoich hoyo toifer min olim. Based on what we've been learning here, we could understand why the rabbis tell us that Chanoich, who lived in the beginning of creation, was a shoemaker. He made shoes. We know that this Chanoich is sort of an unusual person. The Torah tells us he lived 365 years, and then Hashem took him. And there's a lot written in the Zohar HaKadosh and Sifrei Kabbalah speaking about who this Chanoich was. And one of the things that's explained is that Chanoich actually became the chief angel in heaven, whose name is Matat. We don't pronounce this angel's name completely. We'll say it in two parts, Matat and then Roin, Resh Vav Nun. If you put those two parts together, you get the name of this angel, who is referred to as the top angel in heaven in many ways. He's also referred to as the Rosh Yeshiva of a major yeshiva in heaven. And he's also referred to as the one to whom Hashem gives the authority to manage the world during the 6 days of the week. This angel. He's mentioned throughout Likutei Moran in a number of different chapters. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki Chanoich Zematat Sar Haponim. Chanoich, when he lived on earth, he was referred to as Chanoich. After Hashem took him, he became the angel Matat, who is called Sar Haponim, the angel, Kavyochel, of the face of Hashem. Umishom Nimshach Tikun Haminolim. And as we learned earlier, the shoes, the holiness of the shoes, comes from the Oyer Haponim, from the tefillin. We mentioned the connection between tefillin that are made of leather and shoes that are made of leather. Sheheim Shmira L'Raglin. Shoes are a protection for the feet, which are the lowest level of holiness. Shehu Chochmot HaTor. The feet represent the lower Chochma, the Malchus. Ki Tikun Haminolim Nimshach Mebechinas Oyer Haponim. Because the tikkun, that tikkun that the shoes are able to accomplish, draws its spiritual light from the Oyer Haponim, from the light of the face of Hashem, Kavyochel. Vezehu, and this is why the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Bekadmaiso Kosna Soyer Ba'alif, in the beginning, originally, Adam and Chava had garments of light, the word Oyer spelled with an Aleph, Lebosar dechovu, after they sinned, isavdu kosnos oir. Their garments became garments of leather, oir with an ayin. Kimi kosnos oir ba'alef, bechinas oir haponim, nase bechinas kosnos oir. Because from that level of holiness that's referred to as kosnos oir, garments of light, which is associated with the light of the face of Hashem, that's where we draw the light to feed the lower level, which is called kosnos or garments of leather. Sheheim bechinas minolam, which are the shoes. Sheheim oyer, which are made from leather. Sheheim shmiro laraglin, which serve as a protection for the feet. Bechinas chochmot hator, the feet represent what's called the lower chochma. So that the klipos, the sitrachra, the tuma, should not be able to draw energy from the feet. Because had Adam HaRishon not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, had he not sinned, the Sitra Achra, the other side, would not have had the ability to attach itself to the feet, Bechinas Chochmatato, and therefore we would not have needed this protection that comes via those garments of leather, the shoes. We would not have needed it if Adam Rishon had not sinned. However, once Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, Sheheim Kruchin Achar Bechinas Haraglin, and from that point on, the Sitra Achra, the forces of Tumah, try very hard to attack the feet of Kedusha, the feet of holiness, Hu Tikun Godoil, Shenasu Mebechinas Kosnasor, Bechinas Kosnasor. If at that point, it's a major Tikun, it's a major accomplishment that we have these garments of leather, we have the shoes, which receive their light from the garments of light that we had originally. Sheheim bechinas menolim, kiheim shmira laraglin, because the shoes serve as a protection for the feet, for the lower levels of holiness. Paragraph Yud Gimel. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this a little more clearly based on the chapter in the Likutei Moran that this halacha is based on. This halacha is based on chapter 30 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about a number of concepts. He speaks about the concept of Hasoga Selukus, a very high level of understanding of Hashem, which a person usually cannot get unless they first have all kinds of introductions. There's all kinds of prerequisites, lower level things that a person has to learn first that prepare them for being able to receive the Hasoga Selukus. The lower level things that we learn are called Chochmotato, which are introductions and preparations to be able to receive the Chochmo Ilah. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that in order to get this process accomplished, a person needs a very great rabbi who has the ability to take that Chochmo Ilah, that Hasoga Selukus, that high level of understanding of Hashem, and bring it down to lower and lower levels so that people, ordinary people, should be able to connect to it, to be able to relate to it, to be able to achieve it. Then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say that another requirement in order for this to happen is the Chochmah Tato is also referred to as the Malchus. And this Malchus, because it's the lower level, it's under attack by the Sitra Achra. They try to attach themselves to it, and they try to pull down the Malchus, the kingdom, this Chachma, this lower level Chachma, to themselves, into the domain of secular wisdoms. And we have to try very hard to sever that connection, to cut the connection between the Malchus, the Chachma Tato of holiness, and the Sitra Achra, the forces of Tumah and Klipos. And over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal explains the way that we do that, it requires chesed. Chesed gives us the ability to cut the connection between the Malchus of Kedusha and the Sitra Achra. He quotes a pasuk, Ziru lachem litzdaka v'kitzru lefi chesed. And cut, the cutting is according to the chesed. Chesed gives you the ability to make a cut when you need to. And then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say over there that the chesed that's needed to be able to make this cut is a chesed that comes from toichacha. When tzaddikim reprimand people, that's actually an act of kindness, an act of love. There's a pasuk, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. One who Hashem loves, he reprimands. Because if Hashem doesn't love a person, he ignores that person. He doesn't bother reprimanding him, trying to improve him in any way. But if you love somebody, when you see them doing something wrong, you try to reprimand them, to get them to correct, to realize that they're doing something wrong, and hopefully to be able to repair it. So now Rav Nosson Zal is going to touch on that part of the Torah in Likutei Moran. Ki ikar chet Adam HaRishon hoyo al yidei bechina hanal. The whole concept of the sin of Adam HaRishon came about through what we just mentioned, al yedei shenisachzo hasitra achra shehu hanochosh hakadmoini bebechinas chochmotato hasech latachtoinanal. By the fact that the sitra achra, the forces of tuma, the snake, the original snake, grabbed onto the chochmotato, which is the sechel atachtoin, shehu bechinas chava isha, which is represented by the woman, chava. We mentioned earlier that the man and woman represent chochmo ilo and chochmotato. So the snake, who represents the sitra achra, tuma, tried to attach itself to chava, which is the chochmotato, vaideze pito isa. And through this process, the snake seduced Chava ad she'ochla me'etz hadas toivoro, until the snake convinced Chava to eat from the tree of good and bad. Shehem b'chinas chochmos chitzonius. That tree, the Eitz Hadas Toivora, represents secular wisdoms, which have good and bad mixed together in them. V'ashem yisporach berachmov hishtadel l'chotcha mishom. And Hashem, through His great kindness, did what was necessary to cut, to sever the connection between Chava and the snake, al yedei hatoychocho shehoychiach oisamia, through reprimand. We find right after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem reprimanded them immediately, miyad. V'omar lo, and Hashem said to Adam, Ayeko, where are you? Hamin ho'eitz, did you eat from that tree that I told you not to eat from? V'kile eloisam. And Hashem actually cursed Adam and Chava. V'hakoil letoiva. However, in reality, it was all really for the good, to their benefit. Ki kol ze hu b'chinas toichocho b'derech b'izoyen. Because everything we see over there, about Hashem reprimanding them and cursing, that's all an example of toichocha, reprimand, that's being given in an insulting way. And Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in the Likutei Moran that sometimes, on some rare occasions, Hashem and Tzaddikim must reprimand a person in this kind of way, by insulting the person, chas v'shalom. Because Hashem reprimanded them then. And He said to them, Hamino eitz, did you eat from the tree I told you not to? Vegam kile loisam. And besides reprimanding them, He actually cursed them. Oror. Sheze bechinas bizyoinois. That's a form of insult. Hainu bechinas toichocho bederech bizoyin. This is exactly what Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there in Likutei Moran, that sometimes the tzaddik insults a person, reprimands a person in an insulting way, v'hakoil letoiva. However, it's really for the sake of good. It's a positive thing. Kedei sheyizgale al yedei zeh, hachesed shemizgale al yedei toichocho daiko. Because by doing this, this causes a revelation of kindness which can only be revealed in this form of teichocha. We know it's one thing to give somebody a chocolate bar, to say something nice to them, but it takes a completely different level of kindness to be willing to say something that you know is going to hurt the person, and you know that it might even affect your relationship with that person, if they don't interpret it correctly, if they don't take it the right way. Kama shekosuv ba'toiranal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moran, that there's a chesed that's revealed through toichocha, that can only be revealed through toichocha, and especially some certain times when the toichocha comes b'derech b'zoyon. Ayin shom, ma shekosuv shom, take a look over there in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran, what Rabbeinu Zal writes there. Shetzrichen lekabel hatoychocha, that the person who's on the receiving end of this, the student, must accept this reprimand and handle it and swallow it, afal pishi bederach bizoyan, even though it's being given in an insulting manner. And we find, interestingly, Rab Nosson Zal writes that at one point in the beginning of his relationship with Rabbeinu Zal, he writes many times that Rabbeinu Zal was mekarev him with both hands, that Rabbeinu Zal showed him exceptional love and warmth and closeness, like a father to a son. But he does write that on one or two occasions, Rabbeinu Zal blasted him. Rabbeinu Zal reprimanded him in an insulting way. And Rav Nosson Zal, Baruch Hashem, was zeicha to accept it, not to argue, not to disagree, to swallow it. Because he understood who was giving this and where it was coming from, he knew that it was only to his benefit. And through this process, there's revealed an incredible great chesed. Note again, the pasuk says, "Esasher yehav Hashem yechiach," that toichacha is a form of love when it's done properly, and we're going to see soon love and chesed are synonymous. There's a pasuk, "Ahavas chesed." Dahainu, and now Rav Nosson Zal shows exactly where we see this in the case of Adam and Chava. We see Hashem blasting them, insulting them, cursing them. However, we see that we find in addition that Hashem had said to Adam and Chava, you better not eat from that tree, because on the day you eat from that tree, you're dead. Now that day was a 24-hour day, referring to a day of mankind, what we call a day. And yet, the Gemara tells us, Rashi HaKadosh quotes this, quotes the Gemara, which says that Hashem decided to be exceptionally kind and gracious and to substitute one of his days for one of their days. That instead of a day being 24 hours, the pasuk says, Ki elef shonim b'einecho kiyoim, that 1,000 years of hours to Hashem is like one day. And he actually allowed Adam to live 1,000 years. He gave him 1,000 years. K'moshom Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, She'al ze nemar, about this, the pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 25, pasuk 6, Zechor rachamecho Hashem, v'chasodecho, kimei olam hema. Hashem, remember your kindness and your goodness, because they date back way, way back to the beginning of time. K'moy Shapirish Rashi Sham, as Rashi points out over there, that this refers to Hashem granting Adam 1,000 years instead of 24 hours. Va'oz nemar, and then the pasuk says, in addition, Vayas Hashem alekim l'Adam lishtoy kosnasoyer, Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of leather, vayal bishem, and Hashem dressed them. Ze b'chinas min olam. This corresponds to the shoes, shehem shmira l'raglin, which are a special protection for the feet. Ki ato, because now that Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, which is the Chochma Tato, which got mixed into the Nochosh, the Chochma Tato, the Malchus, which fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra, now we need shoes, bechinas kosnas oyer, these garments of leather, lishmira, to serve as a protection. Veheim nimshochem bechinas kosnas oyer, and these shoes draw their light from the garments of light, the original garments of light, mebechinas oyer haponim, shemekablim b'sholosh regolim, from the light of Hashem's face, which Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran, we draw upon ourselves during the three special holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. V'alkein, therefore, going back to our topic, going back to the topic of Chalitza, K'she'enoi roitze liyabem, when a man refuses to go through with the process of Yibum, Sheze moire shepoga mekol zanal, which shows that he is not fulfilling this process that we're speaking about here. Alkein, therefore, the Torah says, V'cholzo na'aloi me'al ragloi, that the woman removes the shoe from his foot, showing that he has done something wrong related to the shoe, this concept of the shoe and the foot. Paragraph Yudalid, U'boze shecholetzes na'aloi, and through this act of the woman removing the shoe from his foot, Al yidei zeh hi nifredes mimenu. Through this, she becomes disconnected completely from her original husband, the brother that died, and from this miyabim, this person who could have done yibum. Umuteres l'shuk, and now she becomes available to marry any other Jew. This woman whose husband passed away without having had any kids, without having had any children, and he has a living brother that was left behind. Ki oz nifrat nishmas hameis miraglov. Because at that point when she removes the shoe from his foot, at that point the soul of the dead brother is able to disconnect from the feet of his living brother. Ve'yotze mimeno hahu rucho deshodi begavo. And that spirit, which her original husband injected into her during the first time that they were together, that spirit leaves al yedei horoik shemeiriko b'fonov, through the spit that she spits towards the face of the living brother, as we discussed in the earlier shurim on this topic. Kama shekosev, as the pasuk says there, ve'yorko b'fonov, she spits in his face. Rav Nosson Zal says again, look at the wording in the Torah. Bifonov daika. Why does the Torah say in the face specifically? Keneged hapegam shepogam bo'er haponim. Because by this living brother refusing to go through with the Yibum, he has been poigim in the face, the light of the face of Hashem. That oer haponim. Umachma shekol mitzvah sachalitza varoik nase bifnei azekenim. And now, because of the fact that this mitzvah, you can't do it at home, you can't do it in your living room, you can't do it. It must be done in the presence of rabbis. It must be done in Bezin, in front of a gathering of significant rabbis, elders, Shehem Hadayonim, who are the judges. Kamesha Kosuv, as the Pasuk says, V'niksho yevimtoy elov le'enei hazikenim. This woman who's a candidate for Yibum, she will approach the living brother in front of the elders. V'cholzonalo, and she will remove his shoe. V'yorka b'fonav, and she'll spit in his face, towards his face. Ayideze nistakein nishmas hameis. This brings about the tikkun, the rectification, for the soul of the brother that died. How? Aliyidei hazikenim. Through those elders, Shehem Hadayonim, who are the judges, Shehem Mekablim Koyach Mehatzadikim Amitim, they receive their power, their authority from the true tzadikim, Shehem Oiskim Lahamshich Hasogas Lekus Boilam, who are involved in bringing high level understanding of Hashem into the world. And now Rav Nosson Zal shows how every single bezdin, every single Jewish court made up of rabbis, even if they themselves, these rabbis, are not the greatest tzaddikim, their authority, their power, comes from the great tzaddikim, as we'll see. Ki kol hadayonim tzrichim lekabel koyach mehatzadik hechochom hoemes. Shehu bechinas roish hasanhedrin gedoyla, shehu yoishvim beveis hamikdash. Because all the different Jewish courts, the courts of 23 judges, the courts of 3 judges, they all receive their authority, their power, from the great tzaddik, who is the chief justice of the Sanhedrin Agdoyla, Sanhedrin of 70 judges, who sat in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Holy Temple, in the Lishkas Hagozes. Sheshom mekablim oyer haponim. There, in the Beis Hamikdash, the rabbis there, the Sanhedrin there, receive from the light of the face of Hashem. Remember, on holidays it says, Sholosh pam bashoni yirok al zchurcho es pnei Hashem alekecha. We go to the Beis Hamikdash to receive the light of Hashem's face. And the Gemara tells us, ki kol hadayonim shlichusa didhu avdi. All the different judges in all the courts throughout the land of Israel and throughout the world are all actually messengers of the Supreme Court, of the High Court, which is the one that sat in the Beis HaMikdash. K'moshem Rabbi Senazal, as our rabbis tell us. So when a person goes before a court of 3 judges, somewhere in Tzfat or in Beersheva, or Lahavdil, in Borough Park, in Lakewood. So he goes before a court like that. There's a wire that's connecting those rabbis there to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the court of 70 judges, and to the chief judge, justice, the Tzadik Oemes, the leading Tzadik there, who receive their light from the Oyer HaPonim of Hashem. That's where they're getting it. And that's what makes this whole process work. That's why when the woman performs this procedure of chalitza in the presence of these rabbis, she is connecting to the tzaddik who has the ability to bring the hasoga selukus down, who knows how to perform this toichacha, the chesed, to cut the connections, to accomplish all the things we've spoken about here. Now Rav Nosson Zal mentions another very interesting point about this. And with this you'll understand also why the Torah tells us that the place where this ceremony is performed is given a special name. It's a bezin, it's a court. A court has its standard name, a courthouse. But a court where chalitza is performed is given a special name. V'ze b'chinas v'nikro shmoi b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanoal. And that room, that place, that office where this procedure is performed is called the house of the removal of the shoe, Beis Chalutz Hanal. Rav Nosson Zal says, Beis Daiko. The word bias is used specifically regarding this procedure. Ki Chalitzas Haminol Moira She'enoid koyach lo'achiv l'sakei nishmosoi a'idei mitz mitzvah yibum. Because the fact that they went through this procedure of chalitza has removed the option of that living brother ever being able to do yibum after that. That option is gone. Avol ha'toyro choso al nishmas Yisrael. However, we know the Torah has pity on the Jewish souls. And therefore the Torah commanded the woman and the living brother to perform this ceremony in front of the rabbis, these great rabbis. K'may Shomra, as the Gemara says in Yevamos, page 101, mitzvah chalitza b'shloisha, that this mitzvah chalitza must be done in the presence of three rabbis. Shehem tzadikei emes vaydezeh, and through that, hazakenim, these elders, they're not just called rabbis, they're called zakenim, elders. Shehem tzadikei emes, they are true tzadikim, misaknin oisoi, they repair the soul of that brother that passed away without having children, al yedei hachalitza daika, through this procedure of chalitza. Umaalin nishmosoi el oyer haponim, and they elevate the soul of this brother who did not have children. He didn't live to have children, so he was missing some of that light of the face of Hashem. They elevate his soul to the oyer haponim, to the light of the face of Hashem, shemekablim bebeis hamikdosh borigolim, which the Jewish people receive in the Beis Hamikdosh, in the Holy Temple, on the holidays, on the special holidays. Zeu bechinas beis chalutz hanal. And this is why the Torah makes a point of saying that that room where they perform this ceremony, the chalitza, is called bayis, beis chalutz hanal, beis daiko, meaning she'ein nishar chas v'sholom nishmas hameis b'chutz chas v'sholom. This tells us that this brother who died without having children and therefore was left out in the cold, that's the expression, that's the terminology, his soul was not able to go up to the high place in Gan Eden where it needs to be, its permanent resting place, but rather it has been left outside in the street. Now that soul enters into Bayit. Now that soul enters into the Bayis. Now that soul is being brought inside into a bayis. Bayis means a house, a home. Bayis also means a room in some cases. That soul is now being brought back into the Beis HaMikdosh. Shehu Iker Habayis Bemis. That's the real house, the Beis HaMikdash. We know that if you look in a Sefer Torah, the first letter in the Torah is a Beis. And it's not just a Beis, it's a big Beis. It's an oversized Beis. It's called Bayis Rabosi, the large Beis. And the Meforshim tell us that that's Bayis Rabosi, the large house. That refers to the Beis HaMikdash. That the Torah is beginning with that big Beis to let us know what Yiddishkeit is all about. Yiddishkeit is all about a residence for Hashem. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the whole reason why Hashem created the world and all the different worlds, because he wanted to establish a residence among us in the world. Ein melech b'lo am. You can't have a king without a nation. So there's got to be a world. There's got to be people. This is the bias for Hashem. That's what Klal Yisrael is. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is the bayit for Hashem. Interesting, those that have visited Toronto know that one of the largest shuls in Toronto is called the Bayit. That's the nickname for the shul. It's called the Bayit. So that's this large Beis in the beginning of Bereishis, which represents the Beis HaMikdash. Shehu Iker HaBayis Bemes. That's the real house, the most important house. Sheshom Meir Oyer HaPonim. That's where the light of Hashem's face shines most brightly. That's where you're able to see Hashem most clearly. The Gemara tells us there were miracles going on. How do you see Hashem? Hashem doesn't have a sweatshirt or pants or a... How do you see Hashem? The answer is when there's miracles taking place, that's when you see Hashem. When there's no miracles, when things seem to be going their natural way, that's called hastara, that Hashem isn't hiding. When Hashem suddenly shuts off the autopilot and takes the controls and starts making some quick turns and some short stops and accelerations, that's when you see Hashem. And that's the concept of the miracles that were taking place in the Beis HaMikdash on a constant basis. Shehazakenim malin oisei l'shom. These elders who are present during this procedure of chalitza, they elevate the soul of that brother who passed away, they elevate him to that place, to the bayis, al yedei tikkun hachalitza, through the tikkun that's accomplished through this procedure of chalitza, ki ma'alin chalitzas haminol lebechitnas chalitzas haminol shecholzin b'yom ha-kippurim. Because what they do is, they take this procedure of chalitza, which involves removing the shoe, and they connect it to another removal of the shoe. The removal of the shoe that takes place on the holiest day of the entire year, on Yom Kippur, when we remove our shoes because there's so much holiness, the holiness is wall to wall. You don't need no shoes. You don't need no protection on Yom Kippur. From the tumah don't exist on Yom Kippur just about. We know that the word hasoton, the Gemara says, hasoton is bigimatria 364. 364 days a year, he's in business. There's one day a year, Yom Kippur, that he's out of business. He's not operating. And that's why we remove the shoes, because we don't need any protection from the Sitra Achra. So through this process of chalitza being performed in front of these elders, these tzaddikim, have the ability to take this chalitza sanal and connect it to the chalitza sanal of Yom Kippur. Shehu Yoim Slicho Mechila, which is a day of complete forgiveness. V'chein Chilzin Haminol Kishenechnosin LeBeis HaMikdosh. We know that there's another occasion where we remove the shoes. When a person would enter into the Beis HaMikdosh, they took off their shoes. Why? Because again, the shoes are a protection from the tumah that's on the floor. When you walk into the Beis HaMikdosh, there is no tumah on the floor. Floor to ceiling, wall to wall holiness. That's what the Beis HaMikdash was all about. So there's a place. The place is the Beis HaMikdash. There's a time. The time is Yom Kippur. And there's a person, the tzaddik, the true tzaddikim, who represents such incredible high levels of holiness. They connect to this Oyer HaPonim, the light of the face of Hashem. They have the ability to absolve all the sins, and to connect us to this Oyer HaPonim. Interesting that this shir is being given on Rosh Chodesh Av, Tovshin Ayin Gimel. Today is the yard site of Aharon HaKohen, the first Kohen HaGodol, the Kohen Godol who went into the Holy of Holies. His yard site is today. It's the only yard site that's mentioned in the Chumash, in the five books of the Chumash, the only one. The Torah tells us that on the first day of Av is when Aharon HaKohen passed away. And we know that Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, had a student, Reb Aaron, and he told him that he has a direct connection to Aharon HaKohen, because he told him, you're going to see that your yard site is also going to be Rosh Chodesh Av. This is information that usually is not revealed to anybody, to tell somebody the day is going to pass away. And this Reb Aaron Zal, every year at the end of Rosh Chodesh Av, would make a suda, because he knew he had another year to go. He had at least another year to go. Just like Dovid HaMelech, who was told by Hashem that the day that he would pass away would be Shabbos. Therefore, upon the completion of Shabbos, Dovid HaMelech would make a Suda called Malava Malka, which is called the Suda of Dovid HaMelech, to celebrate the fact that he knew he had another week to go, a full week to go. Continuing. Ki yesh b'chalitza saminol shtei b'chinois. Because Rav Nosson Zal explains now, this act of removing the shoe takes on two different forms. Ki ovel umenudo rachmona litzlan tzrichin chalitzas minolim. When a Jew loses one of the seven close relatives, a parent, a child, lo yaleinu chas v'shalom, a wife, they go into a state of avelus, they're supposed to remove the shoes for the 7 days, right? And also a Jew who chas v'shalom crosses a line where he shows such disrespect for the rabbis, for authority, that they put him in cherem, they excommunicate him, he also is required to remove his shoes. That's one side of the coin. Lahoyrois, to show us, shenistalik hachius me'oyer haponim, that this person has lost the light and the life that they were receiving until then from the face of Hashem, kaviyachol. Shezehu bechinas avelus rachmonosan. That's the concept of mourning. When a person is in a state of mourning, there's a darkness, there's a lack of light. Just like on Tisha B'Av, when we go into shul, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the custom is that they dim the lights in shul. They put out most of the lights. They leave just enough light for the people to be able to read, to show that the Oyer Haponim of Hashem, which was in the Beis Hamikdash, is missing. V'zeh b'chinas menuda. That's the concept of Avelus, and that's also the concept of a menuda, a Jew who was put into cherem al shepogam b'mitzvah haTorah, because this person showed such disrespect to the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Iker Hanidui, Rav Nosson Zal says, if you look in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, usually cherem, when a person is excommunicated, usually it's al shepogam bekvoid horav atalmud chacham. Usually it's the result of showing disrespect to the rabbis. That's where the Gemara on many occasions shows that a person who showed disrespect to the rabbis, to the tzaddikim, the punishment was this cherem, this excommunication. Because if a Jew is not connected to the tzaddikim, then he's not able to receive from that great light. And therefore he must remove the shoe. Because we said that the shoes draw their light from the Oyer Haponim. This person lost the privilege of receiving from the Oyer Haponim, so he does not have that shmirah, that protection for the feet. Machma shepogam b'Oyer Haponim, because he messed up in this Oyer Haponim. So that's one side of the coin. Now we switch to the other side. Avol chalitzas haminol b'Yom HaKippurim, whereas when we remove our shoes on Yom Kippur, we don't wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur, there it implies the exact opposite of what we just said. Because of the fact that on Yom Kippur, The Sidra Achra has no power, knoweth the Tuma, the Sidra Achra, the Klipois, have no power at all. K'moshom Rabbi Senuzal, as the Gemara says, HaSatan 364. There's one day a year that he does not have power. Alkein Chol Tzna Min Olim. Therefore, we're free to remove the shoes. We can get rid of the shoes. Ki Ein Tzrichen Shmiras Hamin Olim. We no longer need the protection of the shoes. And so too, this is why a person removed his shoes when he went into the Beis Hamikdash, kishom ikar oyer haponim, because that's where this light of Hashem's face shone most brightly. Ve'ein la sitra achra achiza shom. The sitra achra has no attachment there, no connection. Al kein ein tzrichen shmira shom al yidei min olim. Therefore, we don't need that protection of the shoes in the Beis Hamikdash. Kishenichnas l'shom, when we enter in there. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is also why when Moshe Rabbeinu had his first serious meeting with Hashem at the burning thorn bush, Hashem said to him, Shal no'olecho me'al raglecho, remove your shoes from your feet, ki hamokoim asher ato imedolov atmas kodeshu, because the earth that you're standing on is a holy earth. No need for shoes. So far, Rabbein Zal presented this as North Pole and South Pole. There's the bad side, the negative side of this, which is a person in mourning, a person who's in cherem, excommunicated, Tisha B'Av, where the removal of the shoes shows that we are out. We've lost our connection. We are not connected to the Oyer Haponim. We don't have, our shoes have no batteries in them. The light is gone. They've lost their light. They've lost their connection to the Oyer Haponim. Whereas, Lahavdil, on Yom Kippur, or when you go into the Beis Hamikdash, there the reason for no shoes is that you're bathing in such a high level of light, you're at 1,000,000 watts. You don't need the 100-watt shoes. You don't need the shoes that are a 100-watt light bulb to protect the feet. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us that these two are really connected. It's not North Pole, South Pole that have no connection to each other. Aval gam chalitzas haminolim shel ovel umenuda. The removal of the shoes of a Jew who is in mourning or a Jew who has been excommunicated, oy betisha b'av, or on Tisha B'Av, when we remove our shoes. Remember, today is Rosh Chodesh Av. Today we begin the 9 days. We happen to be learning this piece explaining Tisha B'Av on this day. And also on Tisha B'Av, Hu gam kein nishapech letoiva, when we remove the shoes on Tisha B'Av, which shows that we have no Beis HaMikdash, we lost the Oyer Haponim, but by us following this halacha, this custom, which the rabbis have given us, hu gam kein nishapech letoiva, this causes everything to be turned around for the good. Al yedei shemekablen al atzmon divrei Rabbi Senuzal, by us accepting upon ourselves to follow the guidance, the authority of the rabbis, by fasting on that day and removing our shoes on that day and sitting on the floor, by following all the laws and customs, showing that we're not disconnected from the rabbis. On the contrary, we're doing tshuva. We lost the Beis HaMikdash because we were disrespectful to the rabbis, because they murdered Zechariah HaNavi and they did this and that. But by us today removing our shoes and studying the laws of Tisha B'Av and abiding by all of those laws, Shetzivu L'Isabel, the rabbis who commanded us to mourn on these days, V'lachloit Tzamen Olam, and to remove the shoes, K'moish, Rav Nosson Zal says, K'moish She'oimrim L'menuda, just like the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when a Jew has crossed a red line, he's done something so terrible, so insulting to the rabbis that they excommunicated him. When he accepts it, when he takes his shoes off and he sits on the floor and he separates himself from everybody, they go to him and they tell him, Ochinu ato, you are our brother. Me'achar shekibalto lecho esadin, because you accepted the judgment upon yourself, you accepted the punishment, that shows that you realize that you crossed the red line and you're willing to accept the patch the right way, in a healthy way. V'chein ovel, and so too, when a Jew is in mourning, when a Jew loses a close member of his family, it means kavyochel Hashem took a swing at that family. He took away an important member of the family, the husband, the wife, the father, the son, whoever it is. So that family is disconnected from the Or HaPonim. And yet the Torah tells us, so what do? We stay away from them? No. V'chein hovel mitzvah l'nachamoy bekama tanchumim. There's a special mitzvah for all the friends and family and neighbors to go and console that person in all the different ways that they can. V'chein, and so too, the Gemara tells us, kol ha-mesabel al Yerushalayim, any Jew who shows mourning over the destruction of Yerushalayim, Zoyche Lirois Bisimchasa, will be privileged to see the joy of Yerushalayim, to see Yerushalayim rebuilt in its full beauty. Kamei Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Siso Ito Masois, rejoice with her, a great rejoicing, Kol HaMisablim Oleha, those who mourn her destruction. Kyalidei Shemisabel, because by a Jew mourning, V'shov al avoynoisov, and doing tshuva, repenting for all his sins, V'soivel habusha v'abizoyin shel chalitza saminol, and experiencing the shame and embarrassment of not being able to wear shoes, removal of the shoes, V'atifas roish, and covering his head, Shemoira shenistalku hamoichin, all of this shows that the person recognizes that the sechel, the oyer haponim, has left. Bechinas oyer haponim imenu, has left him. By the person acknowledging that, al yidei zeh Hashem yisborach marachim olav, through this Hashem takes pity on the person, umoichel avoynoisov, and forgives all of the person's sins, kemoi b'yom kippur, just like on Yom Kippur. So Tisha B'Av can be, Tisha B'Av, which is a day of sadness, terrible, it can become a Yom Kippur. It can become a tremendous gift to a person if he follows all the laws and the mitzvahs of that day. Vaydeze mishape chalitza saminol lebechinas chalitza saminol shel mikipurim. And by doing this, the person changes his removal of shoes on Tisha B'Av to be like the removal of the shoes on Yom Kippur. She'ein tzrichen oshmira, where then we rise to such a high level of purity, where all of our sins are being forgiven, we don't need no shoes. V'zeh b'chinas mitzvahs chalitza. And this is also the mitzvah of chalitza. Shal yidei hazekenim, sheheim hadayonim, shechalitza nasa b'fneim, through those elders. The Torah mentions chalitza must be done in the presence of elders, those judges. Mesaknim nishmas hameis, they bring about a tikkun for the soul of the brother who died. U'mahapchin b'chinas ha-chalitza le'b'chinas chalitza saminel shel Yom Kippurim. And they have the ability to make this process of chalitza turn into a springboard to take that soul from a yerida to a major aliyah, to the level of Yom Kippur. She'oz nichnas ha-koyin godol lefnai v'lefnim. Yom Kippur is the day when the Kohen Gadol Aaron HaKohen went into the Holy of Holies. She'oz ikar hamshochas oyer haponim. That's the day when we draw upon ourselves this light of Hashem's face, kavyochol, kanal. While we're on the topic, maybe we'll share a beautiful thing that the Arizal says about Aaron HaKohen. Today is Aaron HaKohen's Yortzeit. The Arizal is, we know that the 9 days, the 3 weeks, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the one that we're mourning especially, because the first Beis HaMikdash put us into exile for 70 years. The destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash is keeping us in exile already for over 2,000 years. And the Gemara says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of 3 major sins: idol worship, adultery, and murder. That was 70 years. The destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash was because of sinas chinam, lack of love and friendship and unity among the Jews. The Arizal writes that if a Jew wants his prayers to be accepted by Hashem, to be answered by Hashem, before a person says a major prayer, like before Shacharis in the morning, a person should say the words, Hareini Mekabel Olai Mitzvah Saseh Shel V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha. I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah of loving every Jew like I love myself. And the Arizal says, by doing that, you're locking hands with all of Klal Yisrael. Now your tefillah is no longer the tefillah of an individual, but you're connecting yourself, you're attaching yourself to the entire Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says that a tefillah of a tzibur, a tefillah of thousands of people, a tefillah of a minyan, is never rejected. That Hashem doesn't reject. And the Arizal brings a remez to this. There's a pasuk in the Shem Mem Beis of Hashem, in Ona B'choach, there's a special paragraph, Ona B'choach Gedulas Yemincha, which we say every morning in Karbonos, towards the end of Karbonos. We say it on Friday night before Lachadoidi. We say it on special occasions. It's called the Tefillah of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, Ona B'choach. It's also called a special name of Hashem, the name of 42 letters, 42 words. Very, very deep things written about that paragraph, Ona B'choach. The last line there is, Shavosenu Kabel, Hashem, accept our prayer, Ushma Tzakosenu, and listen to our cries, Yoidea Talumais, you who know the hidden things, you who know the hidden feelings in our heart, you who know everything. The Arizal says that the first letters of that pasuk, Shavosenu, Kabel, Ushma Tzakosenu, Yoidea Talumais, Shin, Kuf, Vav, Tzadik, Yud, Tov, have a numerical value of 906. It's the exact gematria of the pasuk in the Torah, V'ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha Ani Hashem. Love your fellow Jew like yourself. I am Hashem. If you add up the letters there, it's exactly 906, showing that this is the secret. Just like when we pray wherever a Jew is, any place in the world, we pray towards Eretz Yisrael. We pray towards Yerushalayim. We pray towards the Beis Hamikdash, because that's the place where the tefillos are most readily accepted by Hashem. By connecting ourselves to all of Klal Yisrael is also a Beis Hamikdash. The holiness of the Beis Hamikdash came as a result of the presence of Hashem there. The Holy Spirit of Hashem was in the Beis Hamikdash because there were such holy things there. The Evan Shesia, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Mizbeach, all of these holy things. When you connect the dots, when you connect all 600,000 souls of the Jewish people, that also is the presence of the Shekhinah. And the Arizal says, the person who epitomized this, Aaron HaKohen, who was known as Oyev Shalom, Roydev Shalom, Oyev Esabriyos, Mekarvan HaTorah, he was the one who really taught Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of loving every Jew. His name, Aleph Hey Reish Nun, we know that an endanun in Hebrew, the letters of the alphabet go up to Tav. 400 is the last letter of the alphabet. Aleph is one, and Aleph is also 1,000. Elef is 1,000. So the question is, how do you get from 500 to 900? Where are those numbers? And the answer is that the five end letters, Chof Sofit, Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Menatzbach, those five letters give us the numbers from 500 through 900. So that Nun Sofit is 700. So in the word Aharon, Aleph Hey Reish Nun is 906, which is V'ohavta L'Reicha Kamoicha Ani Hashem, which is Shavosenu Kabel, that our tefillah should all be accepted by Hashem. Shabizoich on this day of the Yortzad of Aharon HaKohen, for all of us to recognize this message and to throw away, to get rid of all the negative feelings that we have towards any Jew, and to be zeicha, to connect to this great tzaddik, the Kohen Godel, the one who gave us Yom Kippur, who went into the Holy of Holies, and be zeicha, thereby to have Hashem restore to us, instead of these 9 days being days of mourning the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should return to us the Beis HaMikdash in its full glory, with the coming of Moshiach, b'mheiro v'emeinu, amen v'amen.